Morning Church. My name is Eric. I'm one of the leaders at our church, and I also serve on finance team. Hello? but yes, today I'm going to be reading the Bible passage for us. It is a long one, so let's enjoy the ride together, sit back, relax. It's going to be in 2 Samuel 22. So yeah, sit back and enjoy the reading. Alrighty, 2 Samuel, David's song of deliverance. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, and the torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, to my God I called. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was singing on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful, and the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely, and with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Halfway there. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them. It did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, those who hated me, and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies and exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever.
All right, thank you, Eric. All right, well, let me go and pray for us. Let's pray together before we get into the word. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, and especially we want to celebrate the mothers here in our church. Father, we just really pray blessing over their lives. So many things that they do for our families, and I just pray that you'll continue to strengthen them and really encourage them, and so many things that they do that are unseen and maybe unrecognized by others. Really help them to know, God, that you see everything and that you will reward them and that you will be their shield, that you will be their guide, that you will be their strength and you will be their hope. And not only the mothers here, but just even the mothers in all of our lives, the precious gift that you've given to us. I just pray, Lord, that we will continue to remember that the ways that our mothers have raised us, that in many ways it's a reflection of your heart for us. And so we want to celebrate and remember that, God. And so we just pray that even as we come before you and submit ourselves under really the guidance and the authority of your word, may it be your word that will continue to build us up and encourage us, and may it be your word that will continue to strengthen us this day. So we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day to the mothers here. The unsung heroes of our lives, right? So our kids came down this morning. Well, I won't say which kid. And demanded breakfast from mom. So the work of being a mom never stops. So thankful for all the moms in our lives. So if you haven't had a chance to call your moms, please don't forget to call your moms and thank them today, okay? All right, so we are actually nearing the end of David's life, 2 Samuel chapter 22. And when you think about 2 Samuel 22 as well as 23, this is kind of like David's last words or his testimony of all that God has done, because this is towards the latter half of David's life, and he begins to reflect on the testimony of who God is in his life. And so in many ways, this is really David's testimony to us that helps us to understand, hey, this is who God is, and this is what God has done in my life. And it's really a testimony of David's life that is rooted in the faithfulness of God, in the faithfulness of God. And so think about just even this chapter that David is entering into, because this is right after one of his sons, Absalom, who rebelled against David. So on one hand, David is experiencing this rebellion from his son, but on the other hand, when Absalom is killed, David is devastated because of the death of his son. And so there is anguish and grief from the death of his son, as well as, I'm sure, feelings of betrayal from his rebellion. The land of Israel, they were experiencing 3 years of famine. And so not only was David experiencing that anguish and grief, but there was struggle in the land of Israel. And they were once again at war with their enemies, the Philistines. It's interesting because when we come to 2 Samuel 21, verse 15, it tells us exactly what David was feeling in this period of his life. It tells us that David grew weary. And that makes sense, right? Because there's all this anguish, people are suffering, there's war, there's famine, there's uncertainty in the land. And so he's not really different from any single one of us. He's starting to feel the weight of his circumstances and his life, and he grows weary. But even in the midst of this weariness that he experiences, I think once again this reminds us why David is a man after God's own heart. Because even in the season of weariness that David is experiencing, that David remembers once again all that God has delivered him from. And not only does he remember what God has done, but through the psalm, David encourages us to remember all that God has done for us and all that God promises to do for our lives. And so as we read the psalm that David wrote, the one thing that I want us to remember simply is this: keep walking with God, because our God is faithful and mighty to save. Keep walking with God, because our God is faithful and mighty to save. And so I imagine, you know, like sitting down with David, he is well into his old age. And so you're sitting down with David as he's reflecting back on his life, and you ask him this testimony of who is God in your life, David? In this later stage of your life, who is God? And as you think about your journey with God, how would you encourage us? And through Psalm 22, this is what David would encourage us with. He would tell us to keep walking with God, that regardless of ups and downs that we experience, keep walking with God, because our God is faithful and our God is mighty to save. Our God is faithful and our God is mighty to save. And when we look into the psalm, there's two declarations about God that David makes. The first declaration is this: that David reminds us that our God is our unshakable hope. That our God is our unshakable hope. And we see this in verses 1 through 31. Now, it's interesting because in verse 1, this starts off by saying, "And David spoke to the Lord the word of the song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul," he said. Now, there's a little bit of debate in terms of when David actually wrote this song. Some people think that David wrote this when he was younger, right after God delivered him from the hand of Saul, and he became a king, and he's remembering all the struggles that he went through. Now, other people think that David actually wrote this later on in his life, because it very clearly states that Lord deliver him from the hand of all his enemies. And so not just Saul, but from all the different struggles that David experienced along the way, that God brought about deliverance in David's life. But then it also mentions from the hand of Saul, right? Because Saul was a very significant figure in David's life. Now, regardless of whether you think that David wrote this when he was younger, or regardless of whether you think that David wrote this when he was older, what we see clearly is a testimony of God's faithfulness in David's life. And so this is what David says. And maybe this is the case where David wrote this when he was younger, and as he is getting older, he's reflecting on the things that he wrote, and maybe what David is saying is that this is still true in my life, that God is our unshakable hope, that God is our unshakable hope, right? And so think about all that David has encountered in his life. And as he reflects back on his life, David declares, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." That I am safe from my enemies. And I think it's really fascinating because the first thing, I don't know about you, but the first thing that jumps out at me right away, and what the thing that I noticed about this hope that David found in God, was that this hope was personal to David. It was personal to David. Because when David is writing about who God is, David doesn't just spew out some terminology that he learned at Sunday school, right? He doesn't describe God in terms of, okay, this is who I heard about God to be. But look at how many times David uses the word "my" to describe who God is. He says he is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He's my God, my rock, my shield, horn of my salvation, my Savior. There's a difference between knowing God as all of these things: rock, fortress, delivers, and so forth. And you can read about God being these things to various people throughout history. So for example, the history of Israel, when you think about how God was faithful in allowing them to journey through eventually into the promised land, that you could see that, okay, that through their journey that God was their rock, fortress, deliverer, and so forth. Or you think about the history of even the early church, of the things that these early believers went through, of how God clearly demonstrated himself to be true in the ways of, I don't know, Paul's life or James's life or John's life. But what David is saying is this. He's not saying this is some information that he's read. He's not saying that this is who God is because I learned this. But no, no, David is saying this is from my experience. That this is my personal experience as I walked with God through thick and thin. That God is my rock. He's my fortress and he's my deliverer. And what David is declaring is this, that no matter what I've gone through, my God has never failed me. Right? My God has never failed me. It's not a God who will never fail, but David makes it very clear that this is my God and these are my experiences. And what I can testify to is this reality that my God is a God who will never fail. And I think that's such a challenging testimony that David gives us. And I think it really challenges us to pause a little bit to think about, hey, do we know God in this way? Because, you know, let's say you're in your early 20s and you kind of grow up in the church and you've attended, you know, like, just think about how many Sunday celebrations or Sunday services that you've attended and how many messages you've heard and how many Bible studies that you've done through different life groups or small groups or Bible studies or how many quiet times that you've done and how much knowledge that you've accumulated over the years. I think there's a difference between knowing these things because you've read them versus actually having a personal knowledge of who God is. And I think this is David's way of encouraging us to, hey, keep walking with God because that's the only way that you're going to be able to discover that God isn't just a rock, that he's not just a fortress, that he's not just a deliverer, but he is your rock. He's your fortress. He's your deliverer. Because I think there is something about personal experience. Right? My oldest is, he's on that verge of getting his license. And so hopefully this summer, he'll take his driver's license test. He has to practice his parallel parking. And then once that's done, hopefully he'll get his license. But when I share about getting a license, for many of us, that's a very personal experience. Right? I still remember when I got my license in high school. I mean, I grew up in Minnesota, and so I talk to my wife about this all the time, and she's like, that was your process? Literally, I went to one of the local high schools, so you just signed up for a slot, and the DMV was there, and you just wait your turn, and you get into the car with this person from the DMV, and literally, I think we just went around like two blocks. We went straight, take a right turn, take a left turn, straight, come back, do parallel parking, and then it took me all of maybe like 15 minutes did the parallel parking, and then I got my license. And then my wife was like, what? Because for her, it took her like an hour to get through that process, right? But when we talk about people getting licensed, like it's personable to us because we've experienced it ourselves. And that's exactly what David is saying here. That this is personal because as we continue to walk with God through ups and downs, this is what we will continue to experience. Not only the faithfulness of God, not only was that personal, but the second thing that I notice is that this hope that they found, that David found in God, it's a hope that is rooted in God's faithfulness and in experiencing that God never failed David. David testifies that God will never fail to come to our aid. That God will never fail to fight to rescue us. That David clearly helps us to understand that when we, first of all, cry out to God, that God hears us. In verse 7, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I called. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. That when we cry out to God, that he hears us, and that when God hears us, David says what? That God acts. And David uses such powerful language here to describe how God acts. David declares that God acts on our behalf. Look at verse 17 through 18. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, and they were too mighty for me. And as you continue to read the rest of the psalm here, David is using this triumphal language to describe how God acts. And when God acts, you're going to be able to see. And I think when we think about this triumphal language that David is using, it'd be really tempting for us to conclude that what David is writing here is that God is always going to vanquish all of our troubles. That he's always going to act to get rid of all the hardships and all those who oppose us. But in fact, that's not what David is saying here, right? And we know that this is not what David is saying because David is writing this from his life experience. And he's had some really tough times in his life. He knows what it means to be on the run from his enemies for extended periods of time. And during that period of being on the run and uncertain of his situations and uncertain of the future as he cried out to God, I'm sure many times he thought, God, are you listening to me? Right? Are you ever going to step in and act? But ultimately, as David reflects back on his life, what he is testifying to is that no matter what the situation is, no matter what he had to walk through, in the end, God was always working for David's deliverance. And this is amazing because we know that there's some rough patches in David's life where he rebelled and sinned against God, where he wasn't the best dad in the world. But he says, in the end, that God always works for his deliverance. Because listen to what David declares in verses 21 through 25. It says this, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his sight. Now, we can say, okay, David, that's not completely true, right? Because, you know, you messed up. I mean, there's some dark periods of your life. And so clearly we know that what David is saying here isn't that he is sinless before God. And because of his righteous living that somehow he has earned God's favor. But what David is pointing out is this, that God blesses those who commit themselves to a life of walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, so think about that, walking in the ways of the Lord, which means there were times in David's life where he was genuinely walking in the ways of the Lord, and there were times in David's life where he wasn't walking in the ways of the Lord, but even during those times when God came to David, what did David do? David repented. David acknowledged his shortcomings. And what David, I believe, is saying is that that's part of what it means to walk in God's ways. Walking in God's ways doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be perfect all the time. But walking in God's ways means that we are always responding to his grace. And so his grace, we talked a little bit about this last week. His grace empowers us to walk in his ways. But even when we fall from those ways, his grace confronts us to bring us back. And so what David is saying is this, that when you think about my life, with everything that I've experienced, what you will see is not David's faithfulness to God, but what you will see is God's covenantal faithfulness to me. Even when I was a sinner and when I sought his forgiveness, God was faithful. That God was faithful. And David reminds us that our God is our unshakable hope. Our God is our unshakable hope. And I want to encourage some of us with this reality. And sometimes being in the thick of just living our lives, it's hard to remember who God is and what he has done. But this is a wonderful reminder for us that the testimony that God will build into our lives is a testimony of his hope that he will breathe in us over and over again. And the reason why we are able to have hope in God is because not somehow that to the end that we'll have the strength to cling on to God, but to the end that God will always cling on to us. That God is our unshakable hope. And not only is our God our unshakable hope, but lastly, David reminds us that God is our victorious champion. That God is our victorious champion, and we see this in verses 32 through 51. David, he testifies over and over again that it was God who empowered him to accomplish great things, not just for himself, but in his role as king. So what he's saying is that these are the things that I accomplished for Israel, for God's people. 32b, 33a, and who is a rock except our God? This is God. This God is my strong refuge. Verse 35, he trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. 38, I pursue my enemies and destroy them and did not turn back until they were consumed. Verse 40, for you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. Right? What David is saying is this, that when you are rooted in God and his strength, that you can face whatever life throws at you. And now, this isn't about David bragging to us in terms of, hey, look at me, I'm a mighty warrior. Look at everything that I've accomplished. But I think this is David describing all these times when it was hard, when it was tough, when he felt weak. But David testifying over and over and over again that it was during these times that God strengthened him. That when times were tough, that God saw him through. When times were dark, that God was his light. When he felt weak, that God ultimately was his strength. That our God is a God who empowers us, which means that God will enable us to do great things for his cause. And this is what David is saying, that God empowered me to do great things for his name. Which means sometimes God empowering us to do great things doesn't necessarily always work out in the way that we imagine. I'm sure when David was young, he never imagined his life working out in some of the ways that it worked out. Never imagined that he was going to commit adultery. Never imagined that he was going to plot the murder of someone who was close to him and steal his wife. Never imagined that one of his sons would actually rebel against him. But this is David's testimony of saying, God will enable us to do great things for his cause. There's a Major League Baseball pitcher. His name is Dave Dravecki. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Dave Dravecki. Really an interesting story. 1988, there was a tumor that appeared in his right arm, and he was a pitcher. And his dominant hand was his left hand, and he had to get surgery to remove that tumor. And unfortunately, with that surgery, a lot of the muscles had to be removed from his arm. And so after that surgery, they said, you know, you're probably never going to pitch again. But he went through the process of getting rehabilitated and so forth, and he was a Christian. And so the whole time, he was praying for a miracle. And eventually, in August of the following year, he was scheduled to pitch again, his comeback game. And he basically said, I don't care what anyone says to me, this is a miracle. And so he imagined that pitching in this game, that he would be able to pitch the entire game, and at the end, that he would be able to testify to the strength of God at work in his life. that he would be able to testify to, hey, this is who my God is. But actually, that's not what happened, because in the sixth inning, his arm was shattered while throwing a fastball. And ultimately, his arm had to be amputated. And it was a long recovery process, battled depression, fear, pain. But it was in the midst of this that he also learned to praise God. For in his tribulation, Mr. Dravecki, he discovered God's true power to sustain his soul. And so this is what he wrote. He says, and I quote, "What God does through the valleys of life is he shapes and molds us into the image that he wants us to be. He gives us strength to endure." And a person that is commenting on Mr. Dravecki's life, this is what he writes. He says, "He never got to tell the world how happy God had made him as a superstar and a comeback miracle. But out of his trials, his testimony to God's faithfulness impacted literally thousands of people who heard him praise a Savior who sustained him in loss," unquote. Now, I found a testimony of Mr. Dravecki, and so I want to show this video so that we can hear from his own words. So let's watch this together. When I think about what David is writing here, I think that's exactly what David is saying. He's not saying, "Wow, look at me, I'm such a great warrior who accomplished so much, conquered all these people and won all these battles." I think what David is saying is, like, it's in the worst days, the worst seasons of his life, that God's grace broke through, that his love broke through. And that is the victory that God spoke over David. Because God is faithful, that he was able to sustain David through all circumstances. And that God was able to speak his victory into those circumstances. And that's why David was able to write in verse 47, "The Lord lives and blessed be my rock, and exalted is my God, the rock of my salvation." Now, what do you picture when David says, "The Lord is my rock"? Maybe a small pebble. Maybe like a rock that you see on a sidewalk, but I think this is what David had in mind. If we can go to the next one. This is the Rock of Gibraltar. But this is a famous landmark. One gigantic piece of rock. This is who David is saying God is. That David is saying, "God is my rock. God is something that is immovable, something so big, so powerful, and so strong, that is able to sustain you even through the darkest days and the times of your life." Because that's when God's grace has to matter. And when David is recounting all the times when he was confronted by death and struggle, his own failures, but in the midst of it, David declares, "God, you are my rock, that you are my warrior who fights to overcome." And David declares, "Because God is my rock and my salvation." David says, no matter how foggy, no matter how fuzzy my future might seem, he says, "Because God is my rock, I can always have hope." Look at how David ends his verses 50 through 51, David writes this, "For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever." His steadfast love. David says, "I can have hope because of your steadfast love, your covenanted love." And I think it's really encouraging, because when you think about the way that David's life turned out, he could have so easily have given into, bitterness. He could have grown resentful, discouraged of all the mistakes that he made, He could have just focused on his failures and he could have thought, man, my life, it didn't turn out the way that it turned out. But it's amazing that even through it all, at the end, that he is able to give praise to God. That he is able to utter from his mouth, God, you are steadfast in your love for me. And David reminds us that we can continue to rest our past, our present, and even our future in the victory of our champion, who meets us not just on those high moments of our lives, but it's the low moments. It's when we struggle. It's when we fail. That's when he declares his victory over us. There's this really encouraging quote. It's from Hudson Taylor. He's the founder of China Inland Missions. Someone once asked him and said, how are you so successful in establishing this missions organization? And he was one of the first to go into China to declare the gospel. And this is what he says. He said, and I quote, it seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find a man who was weak enough to do his work. And when he at last found me, he said, he is weak enough. He'll do. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them, unquote. And that's really the testimony of David's life. He's not saying, look at me, look how strong I am, look how faithful I am, look all that I've been able to do. But what David is saying is, man, I've failed. I'm so weak. But despite my weakness, that God was able to do much. Why? Because he was with me. He was with me. And so once again, the one thing, and I think this is the encouragement that David would give us if he was here with us this morning, keep walking with God. Because our God is faithful and he is mighty to save. He's not looking for people who are strong. He's looking for people who are weak. Because when you are weak, what can you depend on? You can't depend on yourself. And the only thing that you can look to is God. And David reminds us that God is not looking for those who are strong, but he is looking for those who are weak, that in your weakness that you can depend on God. And that's the grace of God. And that's why Paul reminds us that it's in our weakness that God is made strong, that his grace is sufficient for us. And so there's three things that we can do personally. First of all, remember. Keep remembering God's faithfulness. Because the reality is that there's going to be some dark days. And that you're going to question, God, where are you? But keep remembering that God is faithful. And as you remember, secondly, receive. Keep receiving his word, his spirit, his promise that will continue to encourage you and point you back to himself. And that was David's life, that he kept receiving God's grace and mercy. And as you remember, as you receive, lastly, respond. Respond. Respond in your weakness. Respond to God who will strengthen you. And that's David's testimony. David said, when God spoke his grace into my life, I responded and I recognized who God was. So remember, receive, and respond. Okay, let's close out in prayer. Can you stand with me as we close out our time together? Been able to accomplish, right? right? Because God was with me, like, I don't know, like I got the highest grade or I was successful in my field or, you know, I became a champion or, you know, like I received that promotion or like whatever. It's not about, hey, look at me and what I've been able to accomplish, but really the testimony of Christ in our life is that it points us to the reality of look at all that Christ has been able to accomplish in our lives. That while we were still sinners, that God came and drew near to us. While we were still undeserving, that God spoke His mercy and His grace into our lives. While we were still unfaithful, that God said, I will be faithful to you and I will never abandon you. While we were still stuck in our weakness, God said, my power will be made perfect in you. And when others see your life, that you will be a testimony to the greatness of who I am. And that's the promise that Jesus makes for us on the cross. And David's testimony, it reminds us that this is who Jesus is. That Jesus is faithful. That He is and will always be faithful. And in your lowest days, even when you stumble, even when you mess up, Jesus will continue to speak His victory over you. It's not a victory of success, but it's a victory of His power that is able to lift you up from the deepest grave. And it's a victory that speaks life and hope into you. So can I just invite us, before I pray for us, just want to give us 30 seconds or so. If you could just simply pray, Jesus, speak your victory over my life. Right? Some of you know the specific areas of your life where it's been hard. Maybe it's your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's specific areas where it's really hard for you to trust in His promises. Or when we've been going through this, you're thinking about, man, I failed again in this area of my life. Or I let others down or here, and I've let God down there. Jesus says, come. And as you once again remember His death and His resurrection for your life, Jesus says, I've come to speak my victory over that circumstance, over that relationship, over that struggle. So before we close out our time together, can you just do that? Say, Jesus, I need you to speak your victory over, and you fill in the blank of my life. Can we do that together? Let's do that. And after a little bit, I'll close out for us, and then our band will lead us in time of closing worship. Let's pray for that together. Sometimes it's hard, God, to claim that hope for our souls. But we look to the testimony of others like David and reminded, God, that even in the lowest moments of his life, God, when he screwed up royally and when it seemed like he was so far from you, that you came and you spoke hope into his life. Hope that restored him.
hope that renewed him. And so we pray for that, Lord Jesus. And I don't know the specific things that are going on in all of our lives and the specific areas of struggle, but I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will come and that you will speak your victory over these areas of our lives. And remind us, God, that it's not just empty hope, but it's hope that is rooted in your resurrection. And that you are able to resurrect, God, even the deepest failures and the disappointments of our lives, that you speak your victory. And so I just pray for that right now in Jesus' name, that you will speak your victory over our lives. And that you will encourage us to start over again today, that we'll choose to walk with you. And that as we walk with you, that we will be reminded of your faithfulness. That we'll be reminded, God, that you are mighty to save. So do that work, God, in our lives. Encourage us once again. So we thank you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your commitment to every single one of us. We're not here, God, because somehow we've deserved it. We're not here, God, because somehow our lives are perfect. We're not here, God, because somehow we're strong enough or we're resilient enough, God. But we're here because we're in need of you. And so come, Lord Jesus, and speak once again your victory over our lives. We love you, and we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.